The August 2nd meeting of the Board of Commissioners for the Alaska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired is in order. I want to welcome everybody here to Grand Island. We're very glad to be here. I want to make sure that I remember so that I, you know, people don't think that I'm not trying to be a hog or something. Commissioner Nancy Olden brought some cookies today, and they're sitting up here at the table, and anybody is welcome to come and partake of them. They're homemade, they're delicious. I've tried both kinds already.
And there's two left.
You got to arm wrestle a little bit. As usual, we will begin the meeting with introductions, and we will begin with the commission board, and then we always want for everyone who has joined us to introduce yourself and tell us where you're from so that we can know to whom we're talking. We really like to include the public in our meetings, and this is one way that we can do that and know who all is here. I'm Barbara Walker, Chairman of the Board of Commissioners, and we can start on the right-hand end of the table, my right-hand end of the table, go around. So I'm just starting. And Dorothy Weston Yakin from South Sioux City, Weston.
Okay, then we go. Bill Esther from Washington.
Bob Burns, Vermont.
Nancy Edwin from Hastings.
Sheila Bobbitt, Staff Assistant in the County Office.
Nicole Van Zandt, Director of the Commission for Lincoln.
Hi, Mr. Rocky, you're here from the PI. Deputy Director of the Lieutenant Governor's Office. Gary Harris. We're not in our schedule for the Lieutenant Governor's Office.
Check the members of. Okay, thank you.
Ours are only going down with the team.
Judy Decker now is Candy Larson, North Faculty Supervisor. And there's no one in the middle of here but Western.
We'll try to not embarrass the person. Review has now when. At the beginning of our meetings, we also announced that although there is always a place on the agenda for public comments, we like to, for the most part, include the public in the discussions that we're having. And so it is one of the things we voted on at our very first meeting was to leave it to the discretion of the chairman when to include comments from the public as the meeting is going on. And usually what happens is unless we are really running long, we do allow people to talk at any point. Please identify yourself by saying your name if you want to seek the floor. That way we will know who is making a comment and that you do, in fact, want to make a comment. And if you can be brief, that's always helpful. Are agendas available or are copies of the agenda available?
Yes. She got it distributed to some people. There are extra pins here, and I think all the railroads may have been taken.
Okay, so. So if someone wants a print agenda, those are available. And from where?
Right here at the table.
Okay. Also, we do tape our meetings, copies of those tapes are available to people for the asking. You can call the commission office and get a copy of the tapes to listen to. We are also making a copy of the tapes of each meeting available at each of the commission offices. So people are able to get a hold of what's going on in our meetings. The minutes are also always put out in draft form on the commission's website and also over Newsline. So we really do try to make things available to people to keep up with what we're doing and to get us input. That's what we really want. The next item on the agenda is the minutes of the May 17 meeting. We made a mistake in our last meeting, and so we need to reflect that in our correction of the minutes, probably. We have been so used to meeting via conference call and then having minutes of that meeting made available after the conference call when we have dealt with the executive director's evaluation. So we sort of did that procedure even though we were meeting in person and went into executive session to do that. So we sort of mixed our procedures there. The bottom line was that we did have the motions for the pay increase, and you know they were legitimate motions, but they didn't make it to the minutes, and they do need to be part of the minutes somewhere. We were able to submit them through the process, so that at least it didn't affect whether Dr. Van Zandt would get a raise or not. But the procedure itself, we kind of goofed on. And so I think what we need to do is to put those motions as a correction on the minutes of the May 17th meeting. I'd be glad to read the motions if people want that done. We can also vote on them. But they need to be publicly there. And this is one of those times when silence is not golden.
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
I think it would be appropriate if we just went ahead and voted on them right now and get that handled.
Okay, the vote being to attach them to the minutes of the last meeting as a correction?
Right.
For something of that sort.
Yes.
Is there
I think we vote. I think we just make a motion to to add those to the minutes of the last meeting as an addendum now. Because we did all the right motions and stuff. We just need to get them in public. And so make a motion to add motions from the executive session to the record of for the minutes of the May 17th meeting.
Now, at this point, it appears that we have kind of like two motions on the floor, neither of our secretaries. So we're going to.
I will withdraw my motion.
Okay, so the first one was. And the second motion was seconded. Is there further discussion? Okay, I'm not hearing it. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, and I can give a print copy of that so that the person who's doing that can have that and not have it, be a problem. All right. Okay, thank you. All right, you guys, one of these years, maybe we will actually do all these those procedural things correctly, but don't count. I think we'll continue to learn as we go, and I hope that will be acceptable to those who both appoint us and live with those appointments once they're made. All Okay, so the, one of the things that we wanted to be sure that we did, we're really glad to have Terry Harris talk about the Business Enterprise Program. And he's come with a really other very important things that he's involved in on this very day, and he has allowed us to have part of his time anyway, and we really do appreciate that. And so we want to move right into the focus topic, the Nebraska Business Enterprises. And Terry has, as we have asked, sent us ahead of time a written report, and we do appreciate that. We got it in a timely manner, and you know that is very much appreciated. So I'll turn it over to you, Terry, at this point, and then you know we'll have questions or comments or that kind of thing.
Do you want me to read that report? Mark?
What's your pleasure, Commissioners?
Well, I mean, I think we read it, so it's part of the record. I don't think it's necessary, but that's just my opinion.
I'm okay too.
Okay.
So. I don't know for sure then what I perceived, but in that report I did describe the program. It really gives an analysis of the program as that function, right? I know there have been several questions about how complaints are handled and so on. And I believe I've got all of them, one of the answers to those things. I've been handled those for a long time, pretty much in explain what I've done, at least in those terms. So you want to describe it and you go in an officer as the first reason of this work. And now I guess I don't know. I seem to ask these questions as kind of.
That's okay. You know, I think you can relax with us, we're just people too, so don't worry about us. I think if there I think at this point, maybe what we can do is to, if there are questions that commissioners have, we can begin there. And then if we either A, have time, or B, someone suggests to us that it would be a good thing for us to do to have the program explain, then we'll do that. If you want to make the best use of your time and ours. One of the things that I'm wondering about, we meeting at which we focused on this topic before, we have talked about things like getting Braille on machines and or having some kind of speech output on them so that anybody who is a blind person going anywhere to any of the sites and the vendors themselves would have access in that way to what is in the machines. And I'm wondering if anything has happened. I know at the time there were some speech output things that were coming onto the market, but they weren't really available yet. And we did do a study in which we discovered that on some of the machines, having Braille on the buttons themselves is really not possible. And sometimes having a key somewhere can work for the vendor, him or herself, but as far as for the public, in some of the locations, it was hard to find a place or a way to do that where the things wouldn't get stolen or carried out or whatever. And so I was wondering if anything has happened with respect to that kind of accessibility issue.
Okay, after the study, we've not done anything further than that. There are machines that do have voice capability, but there are none in Nebraska, to my knowledge, other than a couple of pop machines. They're not the kind of direct use that you would be like models in a selection or anything like that. They're just more a marketing ploy to get people to touch the machine rather than really advisor during the sheriff of independence, the county boss. But, or his admission. That's probably the biggest problem is the expense of the machines eventually become available, and I'm sure they will in the future. We can purchase those types of machines, but right now, to my knowledge, there are none, there are other cost effective, at least for us. Run a pretty tight budget in buying that type of equipment is relatively expensive. All of our vendors the business folks that they are, those who use Braille have a market size in Braille as needed. Most guys have their machines, their products in their store organized in such a way that it's actually done through memory more than through Braille, whether they have part of the site or whether it's really why they need to Braille either way. After you get it for a couple of months, everything is pretty much the same way, you know. Not it would be necessary to label their particular inventory. As far as with publishing, sure would be nice to have a machine that you could label in Braille. Unfortunately, all the ones that we have, the snack machines, the coffee machines, as technology has increased, actually has gotten worse because there are more selections and there's more difficult to label a coffee machine or a snack machine with Braille because most of the buttons are in nature, and it gives you the art of actual mechanical violence that they used to be a few years ago. So, but with that technology as it becomes available, also will become the possibility of voice selection as time goes on, because we all are right now computerized. All of the machines and the purses have a computer board in them. It's just a matter of expanding on that. And I know that there are different companies working on that. It's just not an economic way available. It's more of an economical thing right now to have it available on our machines. But I would say over the next 10 years, with everything being computerized, it's going to be an easy thing for the industry to have.
Now, a person, aside the person comes out with that machine, say a smack machine, I wanted who she bought, well, how does he know what we did? It's my machine.
Yes.
But there are blind people that say, can you not get out of it, screw up and down those machines can be. Thank you, Mark. What the blind customer know what's in the machine, they just swear that it was good. And another follow-up, you're in the key inventory. The vendors, they know what's in those machines, but by memory after a while, you see how much those have been quite a few complaints about the fact that someone brought it together. So it could have pulled it and not been on the crush. They're not consistent. Apparently, whoever loaded those machines are not meticulous about doing it. You know, people can see how they're getting felt through the process of the process. If they want to get a commission bar, they want to take two of the things for it. Can you make comments on that?
I wouldn't run out of time to realize. I have multiple times in this happened. Oftentimes what happens is first we have somebody come in and help the night. They'll say that none of our managers can make mistakes and put the problem in the wrong place. But what does happen, especially this time of year, is if you have somebody come in, and they'll take a few days off, or they'll have somebody come in, and they'll take off on vacation trips and house load. Even for the side of first loading machine, on the inside, it is not exactly set up as it is on the outside of the loading machine. So, if you have help loading the machine, you should make sure they are aware of what's in each one of those. We're supposed to be in each one of those columns, and we do have, especially if somebody on the has a short account help out. We've had that happen. We've had new nights, with rock out there on place. Another thing that can happen, but happen, somebody decided to come in and things are helping in the guy's store, and it was all around or something, and didn't tell him. So therefore, his whole day is messed up, and he's not organized correctly. That would have been very somewhat for the guy. Make sure nobody gets back in their store when this is what that stuff is bringing forward. As far as for the snap machines, the sight person can see the Hershey bar, for instance, in the A4. But the problem with that is there's a little pad up front. It's about 6 by 10, maybe, in glass in size. And if you can push A4 for that Hershey bar, you have to find it without that letter on front, and also a number on the front. And there's so many different selections in the machine that really each one of those become difficult. The other thing we're doing is a pretty option key, if you will, telling what's in A4 and so on, A5 and so on. The problem with that is that has to be changed more frequently because the individuals change the revolver product within the machine quite frequently. I know a lot of guys in the state office are trying to keep everything organized the same way. I think he's got Hershey on A4 on his 4th floor, and he's got it down below. They've tried in the past, but they didn't say anything. But I do know that's been our goal, is to keep those fairly simple throughout the building, so that the person becomes accustomed to doing that. I suspect what would be helpful maybe would be if those designs that you brought in, which would be helpful both to the site person and to the user, and you brought it in well and on that machine so that they would have those required, for instance, the A4, and also if the person is using it, getting this cane bar on A4 or whatever, now it's something else. Right now, it's a little cumbersome to do that. That was what our steps we had originally done, was with that in mind.
It would be cumbersome, but it wouldn't be possible. A lot of people cumbersome.
Yeah.
The side of the world doesn't have to deal with it, but find the world in things, probably in something that's modified so that they can deal with it. I think that's sometimes the obstacle. I don't know what the situation is. On the 907, that's me replacing my wife with things. The only two people that have totally come to her, and she's from the
Well, it seems like you have two issues on the marking machine. First of all, you said some machines are more complicated. You want to snatch those less different items, like a pot machine. In the pot machines, it seems most of them would be pretty easy to work with the machine just as pot. Do the machines do a combination of pot and other snacks?
We have a couple of machines that do, for the most part, the pot machines are easily broken, and because they are consistently the same product in each area, and we can have a number of those provided. At one time, I think we were close to that, we said that today, machines can move around, I don't know. But however, there's a tracking that are making sure that they get the machine in it is that well. The reason that we are not as aware as our commander should be is we can do it. Pop machines, as we see in lots of buildings in some other areas, are actually owned by the pop company. And oftentimes the pop company and the manager will know that the machine is change about how much for a month, because I went in there and actually looking, because I know they, I'll have these changes around, because I'm there, and I have to come to you and say, I want you to get the pop sheet on 6-4 for my, for having pop the coke machine or just a change ever, because all of these call me a coke company, and also the coke or the Pepsi companies do their own era. And if there's something that's wrong, could she have been out of date or maybe people had cars or society can't repair groceries and she was now. So I came in with 6 weeks first time, it was like 3 or 4 weeks before I know there's actually a change in the machine. I don't know that our managers follow up to make sure that they're well, and I don't think we express that. We've had to boss our and she didn't tell her. So boss our
So I would think, I mean, that's just something that I think that from the commission level, we should just require, I mean, that, you know, a Randolph Shelter vending program is just, to me, I can't imagine a reason why we shouldn't have the machines that, you know, can just be done if somebody decides to do them. We don't have any real complicated issues, just a matter of doing it, why they shouldn't be borrowed. The other thing that comes to mind is on the snack machines, is it's kind of like a restaurant, the menu. I mean, to have a braille piece of paper on top of the machine, I mean, obviously people are going to run off of it from time to time, but I would think that the commission could run off a new one if you just have your menu on a computer. You'd have a restaurant that has braille menus, some of them are going to disappear, some are going to wear off, it's not that big a deal, just to print a new one. But something like that. A lot of it just has to do with, like Bill said, you know, it may require a little bit more effort, but it's something that can be done if someone, you know, there are some machines that I would contend are probably actually just impractical, impossible to make accessible, but I would think that most machines would not be that way, but if people thought about it and put some effort into it, that they could make them accessible. They just might be a little more work, but I think it might not necessarily be a whole lot more work. But I just think we need to shift the burden to thinking not that this is too much effort, that we should be thinking about this needs to be accessible unless there's some reason why it's just totally impractical. Switch the burden of proof to, you know, prove to me it's not accessible rather than someone just, you know, contending that it's too hard and so can't mess with it.
I think for you, maybe I'll just say there's not a machine that will be accessible. It could be changed by computer on a daily basis or problems. It was on rail. I mean, what can get it? I don't have to move the burner, but it's not a machine that we have that would be accessible if we were using the meter. But, you know, we've got a top machine under the selection board. Yeah, I think we're moving the system in a pretty good manner. There's not a lot that could do. I know Bob, you were involved.
Yes, I was. And one of the things that was an issue when we were talking about it was the fact that, you know, people do go off with the, you know, anything that is not nailed down or somehow secured. But it seems to me that if there were something that was connected, you know, somehow connected to the machine, that the menu can be put on. That would solve that problem. I mean, I know there are a lot of things that have, you know, like chains on and have a sleeve or something like that. If it were, you know, if there was a consistent thing done where that's where the thing would be, it would be inside of that, and so anybody, whether it be the operator or a blind person in the public, could then know where to look for that thing and know that it was going to be there. it seems like that's all common. At the time we did the group study, people were going to be thinking about that and considering that, you know, looking into it or whatever. And it seems like, you know, that issue has been kind of let go of. And you know, really, since this program is meant to help the public to understand the language of what, you know, can do business people, and it's also supposed to be available to all of the public, it seems like the commission needs to be doing anything it can to promote the ways that blind people do things, not as you have to do it that way if you can't see, but as a truly alternative way of doing a thing that is equally good, just different. Because that's what the public needs to know about us. You know, we do things differently, perhaps, but it isn't necessarily an inferior method of doing it. And as you said, with the new product sign or whatever, that would be helpful for everybody. This would be helpful for everybody too, in a slightly different way. But I think that the approach with people needs to be that this is a sensible way of doing what this program was intended for, and not always for somebody to.
But it also fosters the use of Braille. I mean, especially people that lose their sight, you know, they quandary, do I bother to learn Braille? Well, what am I going to use it for? Well, if vending machines, you know, if they run across Braille in different places, then there's a reason to demand it, use it, and people see Braille, and it's just an acceptable. I just think that, you know, the Rana Shepherd vendors ought to be leading the way in Braille on labeling on vending machines, and you know, it'd be great to have every vending machine now, you know, somewhere, but at least we should be leading the way. And I just, like I said, I just can't.
Well, if I label a piece of paper, you know, what it is, you know, straight piece of paper, and I label it, it isn't, you know, even if I have everything that is that kind of category of things all in one place, it isn't just that somebody else might move it, it's that I might move it. or I might, you know, not remember exactly what that was. And if I pick it up and can check it right off what it is, then I don't need to go looking for a reader or find a later and wonder about it or whatever. And the very kinds of things that you were talking about, that was an interesting list of things. You know, that can happen. I think that list of things that can happen could be stressed to vendors as reasons to label things, not as reasons why they don't need them. Because even if they don't happen very often, if they happen once and the public is dissatisfied with the result, then it seems to me like that's a problem. And one of the things that wasn't mentioned in the report was training. And I know we were talking about that also last time, that there was a need to revamp the training, to beef it up, to redirect it, or, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, in looking at the statistics and those kinds of things, we don't seem to be having a lot of new people or a lot of new places, you know, the Air Force places and things like that. I'd kind of like for us to get an update on training and also on, you know, new facilities and types of facilities.
I know one thing has changed since the last study that we did. I got it for more office to have computers for the thing it costs me to read it anyway. Sorry, Commissioner. Probably the email address, you know, the Braille, probably the Braille, we didn't have to put it out for us, but the Braille thing, you can email that to us, and that means we need to change that name. Training, we tried a couple of different things, we used to talk about Okay, hi, I'm the director.
I know it.
So we're discussing now is maybe the name. The town can be done, done survey and so on, being used. One of the things short of was everybody having, a computer to deal with to, change that meeting. But most of us, those have computers now where it could be easy to have it on and then the computer just change that. Have a real meeting set up, sent back, because I know that's certainly an easier way of doing it before we do a little cumbersome for everybody putting it all together. Now with everybody having a computer, I'd like that to be easier to change, so that can be easily, doesn't require the more so than what one time at a time studying the doctor.
So what about attaching it to the machine? That's going to be a major concern to people.
What I was thinking then, we then have it so that it can be changed and updated.
Yeah.
So we'll have to have, I don't want to think you brought it, but it is a sleeve. We have a plastic sleeve right underneath the, it's a selection board. We put that down on this machine that individual is working there, and tell what's in this machine. So they can do that with me. Above that selection board are various, types of information about how to operate the machines. Different side effects. We have that below that selection, or below the selection board, and for the rail users. So we have to have it in the way you have to get some sleeves in here, so it has to be changed.
Yeah.
How we have to do a lot of rail to do, change it with the rail. That's what you've been like, why?
Yes, as far as it's something that we get something that will stay there.
Right. We have to have something to change. That's really interesting.
Drew, would you talk more now about the training that people go through? Are they going to the training center at lunch rail?
Evaluate those folks after there's the next day. We have some folks in there who can be brought home from the center. So we have a great deal of folks that we have chosen to have been to the center actually and have those skills to have. No one needs to require that. That's it. 5 or 6 years ago. Part of our training. Also, we have an evaluation test that tests the math skills and so on. It's part of that too. We have tried one at the most close to Missouri. They have our formal training center down there that came back for the positive and negative results. The person we sent there is no longer with us. So we spent a great deal of money in that training program. The last person that we have, as you remember, we spent extensive time with us over and above the center. We worked on record keeping. We've also sent them to various understanding for OJT. And that has worked as well as anyone else to the survey work. I think we have cafeteria skills over here. You know, we don't have a cafeteria or posting of the, we just don't have that, things like that. But right now, I live in state office building, it's not exactly a cafeteria, it's fast food. Prepared for the order of accounts, that way it's not the same as cafeteria. We're going to get you first up there, and there now we still need to send you somewhere for a little training, but other than that, we don't have the cafeteria facility right now, and so it would be tough to give away on job training there.
Well, as a person that we sent down to Missouri and is no longer with us, you know, that person moved away, and that person was staying after all of that, and I don't really want to do this. What happened as far as?
He didn't really want to do it. Part of it was he was in a small facility, and it wasn't earning enough income, and he wasn't really willing to wait to get on another facility. He got a job, in another area, I guess he also has a band. He played with him, he would spend more time with them, and didn't take up a lot of his time in terms of, he just wasn't able to get his books and things to get behind for any different things happened. He wasn't staying on top of it, so he could get frustrated and decided to not have his time. I think part of it is maturing as he is this person, he's already made.
So we don't require, like, if someone is going to, if the commission is going to invest in someone at that level, we don't, it doesn't require that there be a, I know some positions, some jobs now will, somebody's going to be offered extensive training, then they need to sign a kind of like a contract saying I'll give you at least a year or two or 3 years, you know, something after you've invested this much in me. Are we either unable under a law or, you know, want to do that? Or?
In this case, I don't think we want to go over. It was frustrating for him, but it was also for us. He needed to do that early in the morning to get things done, and without being there, his life's not good, because he's got to go to the receiving room in order to receive the money. Most machines are filled with everything before noon. He would have to get around lunchtime, he would have to search for that meal. Well, that is a part for us, especially if he wanted to also play a band and do things like that. It just wasn't working out. So, should we have had a contract where he had to stay here? In a way, we do. But should we have something else to deal with for that? Other than they didn't pay us some of the expense. We want to get a lot of that either.
Madam Chairperson?
Yes.
Let me ask the Secretary of Labor.
You didn't have any argument from the chairman. I don't know about them, but
Jerry, is there something as far as training, like, you know, seeing what vendors are doing in other states, what products, what ways they're making money, successful ones, and kind of disseminating that information? I mean, is there some kind of networking of vendors that exists, and how do you, you know, interface with them?
For a couple of years, our RSA office I am in Kansas City, oftentimes, and we do it nationally as well, and so too, we have meetings with where you know the chairperson and one or two other people from the from our Lightning Committee and myself, literally get to meet with other folks from other states, and we can share ideas in terms of what the new products are, how things are being done, and so on. then at both national and regional level. But I'm going to be handling it for about 2 years now. I'm not quite sure why we have to wait 2 years. The department has been changing staff and of course, not available at federal level. Schools are being paid for by RSA is paid for us to travel there. It was money to go there, they put us up, and was the last one I went to, they went up to the The south, I think it was, yeah, the hour of the council. Is that one, for example, they had one in the national,
Now that's who the RSA.